The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Our featured NHL games tomorrow night on ESPN+. Stars finishing up a four-game road trip against the Devils, then the Kraken hosting the Preds, who trail the Avs by two for the top spot in the Western Conference. To get ESPN+, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. And with that, on this remarkable Monday morning, we welcome you back to Get Up. We are at the Seaport. We are brought to you by Chase. Dan is fired up, and he'll explain the jacket as we go. Rex, RC, what can you say? It might have been the greatest weekend NFL ever had. And let's show you why. Game of the year last night. Dan, rematch of last year's AFC Championship game, and the star quarterbacks did not disappoint. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, here we go. Opening drive, Buffalo setting a tone, going for it on fourth and two.
Something I wanted to see in this game. Situational quarterback runs. You pull your offensive line, fake it to the tailback, and then you got 250 pounds of Josh Allen coming at you.
And by the way, Tyrann Mathieu, as you saw there, kicked in the head on the play. Concussion would not return. Later in the drive, fourth down, they go again.
Well, you shuffle to freeze the defense for just a step. Then you kick the ball to the perimeter to Singletary. Good blocking on the outside. Great opening drive for the Bills.
Bills up 7-0. KC gets it back. Patrick Mahomes doesn't do this often.
Yeah, but this is so good. Climb the pocket, eyes downfield, man coverage. The whole middle of the field is very vacated. He doesn't hesitate. It's a huge chunk run on third down.
He actually led his team in rushing yesterday. So did Josh Allen.
Watch the pump fake.
Yeah.
Watch the pump fake right here on Hughes. 55. Right this. This pump.
Don't leave your
feet. That gets him right around it. And then just the spatial awareness, something I specify in, just his ability to understand. Reach the pylon, reach the ball for the pylon. As long as it contacts, it's a touchdown.
We're tied up at 7. Rex, you like a big-armed quarterback, right?
Yes, I do.
How about this one?
Load the bazooka. Boom! Launch that sucker, let it go.
Woo-hoo!
No pea shooter there.
75-yard touchdown to Gabriel Davis. But we were just getting started. Fourth quarter, Bills down 26-21. This is a fourth down play.
I don't need to say anything. This is just out of this world. This is an alien. Making guys miss tackles, pump faking, going down the side, trying to hurt somebody as you're going out of bounds. Just spectacular.
Yeah, he's looking to hit somebody. This is fourth and 13.
Just a beautiful pump fake. You see middle of field safety there. You pump fake and allow Gabe Davis, your receiver, to win on the route. Stem, break outside, corner falls down, throw an absolute rifle, 35-plus yards.
And so now they need the two-point conversion.
Watch McDermott. Watch McDermott, top of the screen. Watch. Hey, Josh, go. Oh, no, it's not there. Throw to Stephon!
Well designed.
Bills up by 3, but there were almost 2 minutes left on the clock. Mahomes and KC. Tyreek Hill, one play.
Just run it out there to him. Instead of throwing it to him, just place it to him. Inside leverage, two-man, and just his ability to burst by guys is spectacular. I'm shocked that they didn't throw the taunting penalty for the peace sign.
Yeah, they saw it. We saw that call multiple times over the weekend. Bills retake the lead by 3. 13 seconds left when this play is done.
Bad leverage by the secondary. Make him hurt for it. Beautiful job by Gabe Davis and Josh Allen.
13 seconds. Rex, what's the first thing they did wrong?
How about we squib kick that thing, Grady, for the... that's crazy.
We will explain in a moment exactly why that was such a mistake. It leaves 13 seconds and 3 timeouts for the Chiefs.
Nice little completion to start the Tyreek Hill. Everybody's prepared. Then you get Travis Kelce. Again, everybody's aware of the situation. Cannot wait to break down all the details and the steps that allow this to happen.
How do you let that happen?
Put it on a string.
One way or another, Harrison Butker, he's a great kicker.
Put it on a string.
A weekend filled with great kicks. That's a huge one. 49 yards. All four games this weekend ended on field goals with no time left in regulation. This one, however, then went to overtime. Mahomes gets it first, 2nd and 6. Hardman.
Really good patience by Miko Hardman. That corner is going to get picked by Travis Kelce on that mesh route. Short pass equals a big game.
And that was just a matter of time. Here we go, ball game.
My guy better than your guy moment. You're drawing this play up for that matchup. Patrick said it himself. He just believes 87 is not going to get covered in that moment. The ball placement is spectacular.
The quarterbacks threw for 707 yards, 8 touchdowns, and no interceptions. One of the most remarkable finishes, one of the most remarkable games in NFL history, goes to the home team in a thriller.
You have any special advice to Pat right there when Buffalo took the lead for the last time?
Yeah, when it's grim, be the grim reaper and go get it.
To be in this moment, this game against that team, and to make a play to walk off a game at Arrowhead, I'll remember this for the rest of my life.
Yeah, it obviously it hurts. You know, you don't like feeling like this, especially back-to-back years at the same place. So we got to find a way to be better next year and to accomplish what we want to accomplish.
Look, that kid couldn't have done any more than he did. We have tried so hard to get to everything in this game today. It's very hard. Let's start with what went wrong. Again, we have waxed rhapsodic all morning about the brilliance of the quarterbacks and the brilliance of the play. And we obviously all of that is a big part of the story. But Rex, to lose a game that you have a lead with 13 seconds left, you have to get some things wrong. Let's analyze what they were.
The first thing, you've got to squib kick it. And the reason you squib kick it, that's kicking the thing on the ground.
Right.
It makes the return team have to field it. All right? Because if you mortar kick it, he can fair catch it.
Right.
No time comes off the clock. The time is what you got to get rid of. That team has 3 timeouts. Squib kick it. It's going to take at least 3 to 5 seconds if the returner gives himself up. And so now you're down to defending one play. And it was a mistake right there, and there were several others also.
Well, so then let's get to the next one. And, Dan, I know you had questions, and you're going to ask Rex about the defense the Bills were in on those two passing plays.
Yeah, those two passing plays, specifically the one to Travis Kelce. Why would you not defensively teach your guys on defense, hold? Specifically Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, hold them. Right. Time is going to run off the clock. You're not going to give them free access on that throw. Certainly a penalty flag is going to get thrown, but it's going to be a 10-yard flag. So I can take – would you do – is that something you would do?
No, that's not something I would do because – It could be interpreted as pass interference also. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's why you don't necessarily make that holding call. Your point is, is right, but I wouldn't risk it.
But why is the middle of the field open when they have those timeouts?
This is what I would do differently. I knew it was a mistake as soon as I saw that they were rushing 4. That's not what you do in that situation.
Why?
Because you want the time to go. You want him to have to sit back and look at what you would do. I could play the
same coverage. So rush fewer than 4 is what you're saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would rush 2. And the reason you want him to hold the football. The other thing is what you want to do is make sure you're not getting beat by Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce. So what you do is you call a lock. There's nothing wrong with what they call. They call end of the game defense. Nothing wrong with that. However, you want to put your 2 lock guys on Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce.
Like at the line of scrimmage?
Absolutely. So they're playing man coverage with all your zone behind it. You want the quarterback to have to hold the football. And why I'm sitting here, I have no idea.
RC, go take it. Again, 13 seconds left, I mean, that's really it's extraordinary to allow it to happen.
No, like I said earlier, though, we have to give the Kansas City Chiefs a lot of respect, right?
Absolutely.
And a lot of positive comments for being in the position that they were in. They had their timeouts. They understood how they'd be being played. And they said, okay, right now we're going to give the ball to the fastest player in the NFL and allow him to eat up some chunk yardage. We're going to bring Travis Kelce tight into the midline of the line of scrimmage and allow him to work this defense that's protecting the sidelines. And when you look at what the Kansas City Chiefs did as compared to the Buffalo Bills, they just executed better in that situation. And the game was going so back and forth, and I understand Sean McDermott was trying to manage a lot of things, but that is his job. It's his job to understand that if we squib kick, that takes some time off of the clock. It's his job to understand that if we rush 2, not only does it make Patrick Mahomes have to figure out what we're playing on the back end, but a lot of times quarterbacks will take the time because they have it. And so I think in those situation, the Buffalo Bills were playing it as if the Kansas City Chiefs didn't have any timeouts. That if you allowed them to catch the ball in the middle of the field, they couldn't stop the clock. And I think that was the wrong thing to do. So listening to Rex explain how he would play the Buffalo Bills, play the Kansas City Chiefs, I think he's exactly right in his assessment, and that would have been the best way to go.
Yeah, and look, we made our jokes this morning about the Cowboys in 14 seconds versus 13. Look how organized and ready to do all that Kansas City was. Let's hear it, though, but we haven't even gotten it in all morning. This was Sean McDermott after the game being asked about decision not to squib kick.
Yeah, we talk about a lot of things, Mike. I'm just going to leave it at the execution, and that starts with me.
Thank you, Sean. I don't know what that means. I mean, it's not the execution has nothing to do with the decision not to squib kick, right? They didn't not execute the squib kick. They didn't squib kick.
It's almost like, look, this guy's a great defensive coach, so he thinks the same way I would think about the end of a game like this. It almost looked like he was shocked the ball was not squibbed.
Yeah. I think like
but why would he wait, hold on. Why would the coach
I'm
be shocked
you,
the ball was
I'm
not
just
squibbed?
Telling you.
Isn't that his
it's
decision?
It's the only call, of course. But it's the only call that you can make in that situation. And the fact it wasn't, when he leaned on the execution of it, it's almost one of these things where everybody got it except the kicker. I don't know if that's what happened or not.
It's almost like you can say this game came down to the Chiefs coaching staff was a big reason why they won, and the Buffalo Bills coaching staff is a big reason why they lost. And that's a lot for me to say because I think the world of their coaching staff, but the Chiefs were completely ready for the end of game situation. Yeah. They looked like they were completely prepared for it, given anything that the defense had done to it. And the Bills, from that kickoff to that first down defense into that very next play defense, looked very unprepared. It looked like they weren't ready for that moment. And I think that's the big difference, the Chiefs coaching staff.
The big thing, obviously, is the squib kick, right? Because you don't take any time off of the clock. But when you're looking at the defensive plays, you also have to execute as players. If you're players, you have to run to the football with a sense of urgency if Tyreek Hill has that ball. You have to get Travis Kelce on the ground immediately when he catches that pass. And I think much like we joked in the first hour of this show where it said it's 13 seconds, the game is over, it almost seemed like the Buffalo Bills relaxed. Like they relaxed on the kickoff and said, you know what, we're not going to make sure everyone knows it's a squib if it's a squib kick, or we're not going to make sure we squib kick. You know why? It's only 13 seconds, and we're not necessarily going to run to the ball or be closer to Tyreek Hill and give him 30 yards. You know why? It's just 13 seconds, and we could play the sideline here because now it's just 7 seconds, and if he catches the ball, we'll get him on the ground. They won't get an opportunity to make this kick. And besides, Bucker has missed two already. It felt like the Buffalo Bills finally said, you know what? Josh did it. Josh got us over the hump. There's only 13 seconds. We get to go home to Buffalo and play in the AFC Championship.
Wow.
The Kansas City
That's
Chiefs.
What it would have been.
The Kansas City Chiefs finished the game.
That's right. Yeah, they would have been home against Cincinnati next week. Instead, it will be Kansas City. All right, we're just getting this hour started. Coming up next, his legacy was on the line. Matthew Stafford made the play of a lifetime. How did he pull it off? How did Tampa allow it to happen? We will show you and answer that question exactly. Plus, have we now seen Aaron Rodgers play his final game in a Green Bay uniform? We've got this weekend covered from every possible angle. Get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, so before we had the greatest finish ever, we had the greatest finish ever. Bucks, Rams, NFC side, Matthew Stafford, Tom Brady. Here we go, Dan. Second quarter, Rams are up 10-3. This is a 3rd and 20, and somehow Cooper Kupp is behind the defense.
Stay aggressive. You're playing cover two. That deep safety gets peaked a little bit inside by the seam in Stafford's eyes. Cooper Kupp gets behind. Huge touchdown, 3rd and long.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp being behind the defense would become a theme in this game. A few minutes later, second quarter, this is going to be a Brady completion, but wait, there's a 15-yard penalty. penalty on Brady for unsportsmanlike.
Green, I believe on the broadcast they said it's the first one ever in his career. You're going to see Von Miller hit the chest and then slide into the helmet. Obviously, Brady's not happy that the flag wasn't thrown.
Yeah, and then the flag is thrown on him. You can see he's bleeding one way or another. Rams up 20-3 at the half. Late third now. It's 27-6. The Rams need to make mistakes for the Bucs to get back in it. Here's the first one.
Yeah, they've got no life in this moment, and it's a nice job by Jamel Dean of forcing that ball out. Cooper Kupp trying to get extra yards. That ball pops out. They're there for the recovery, and all of a sudden you're saying, well, a team that had no shot now has some life.
It didn't feel like the Bucs themselves thought they were in the ballgame, and then that happens, and that leads to this.
Fournette came back and had an impact running the football. He gets off tackle there, finisher on the goal line.
27-13. They got a shot. Fourth quarter. Rams go three and out. Bucs get it back next, and this could have ended the game.
I thought it did, Green. You're going to see Von Miller. Watch the right hand. Just go strictly for the football, not worried about the sack. Ball pops out, and I'm thinking Rams end the game.
But that's the next play.
What is going on is what was said in my house.
And I'm sure in a lot of houses, the Stafford household, I'm sure. That's a wild sequence. But the Bucs aren't able to capitalize by 1 second. If that ball doesn't hit the ground before Weddle hits Evans in the face, it's a first down.
Just a lucky break, right? Once that ball hits the ground, the play is dead. The hit happens after that. If that ball hung in the air for a second, it would be Buccaneers football.
So, 3.5 to go. Bucs is 2nd and 7. And this time, Evans gets behind the defense.
Double move. It's an out and up. He gets one-on-one coverage. Jalen Ramsey. It's a beautiful, perfect throw by Tom Brady.
So, it's a 7-point game. But the Bucs have no timeout. So, the Rams just need to be very careful with the ball.
What the flying fudge is going on right now?
Cam Akers, he had fumbled earlier in the game, right at the end of the half, and he fumbles there, and the Bucs get it back. This is a 3rd and 10, and this is not quite a first down.
Yeah, it's the coverage to go after. It's 4th down. I'm thinking quarterback sneak, and Byron Leftwich said, nope, I'm giving it to number 7. He makes a beautiful cut out on the perimeter of the defense. This game is tied.
So it's unbelievably tied at 27 with 35 seconds left. As we've already learned today, that's an eternity. Cooper Kupp.
The first down, they got 2-man. So 2nd down, they get 2-man again. Inside leverage, you get an outbreaking route. Beautiful job throwing catch.
And then here's the play. Dan, I'll say it for you. What the flying fudge is going on here? How is Cooper Kupp behind the defense?
Yeah, hopefully I have a little bit more bass in my voice than you just did there. Just a beautiful job of recognition by Matthew Stafford in the offense. And you see the emotion after the spike, how big of a play that was.
And every game this weekend ended with a kick with no time left in regulation. Awesome. That one wins it. That's a former Buccaneer, that kicker, by the way, who puts it through. Brady, his season comes to an end for the Rams. Unreal. Dan, your guy Stafford gets to celebrate, and we will allow you to dance in just a moment. But we said it a moment ago, and Rex, I'll start with you, and then RC will come to the tape. Because the second that ends, my first thought is, how in the world, no matter what else happens, the one thing you cannot allow is Cooper Kupp to get behind your defense.
No, absolutely. And that's why Todd Bowles is a great defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. But in the moment, he wanted to close the game out with a 0 blitz. All right. And here's the problem. And I know RC has a tape on it, but it's you got to be early than late.
Right.
You can't be hesitant in a 0 blitz. You got to come after him and not let this quarterback able to throw the ball, you know, past 30
yards out of the field. Explain what you mean by rather be early than late. I mean,
you got to be at the line of scrimmage moving forward to the quarterback, and that way he's got literally 1, 2, he's got to throw it.
Right.
Instead, he's able to set his feet because you don't blitz on time, and he throws this thing way down the field.
RC, what happened?
Well, listen, they were trying to disguise, but Levante David says that a lot of those guys didn't get the call. We even heard Bruce Arians and say it. And so you can kind of see it in what they do and the way that Levante David moves and also the leverage of Antoine Winfield. Here you're going to see the big play, and it looks like Antoine Winfield is just wrong. And now everybody's going to question the blitz. But we should have had Devin White hug blitzing off of Sony Michel and then Levante David coming into the next gap, the B gap, right off of Ndamukong Suh. But he never rushes. And so without rushing, you don't get that extra guy in the pressure that is unblockable because of the numbers. Now watch the safeties on the back end who are also disguising. Antoine Winfield is outside leverage, and once Mike Edwards goes to Tyler Higbee, Matthew Stafford immediately knows where to go with this football. They called it a love of the game route because it's normally not open, and in this situation it shouldn't have been either. Levante David should have been hugging into the gap and being closer to the rush, and also if you look at a guy like Antoine Winfield Jr., if he knows the call, he knows there's no inside help, why would he be playing outside leverage?
Right.
This seemed like this was messed up from the beginning. winning for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but you have to give Matthew Stafford credit and Cooper Kupp as well for taking advantage of it.
I'm going to get that in 1 minute. I have one more question on this, yeah. Rex, and that is we just talked about how maybe the kicker didn't get the call in the right. Buffalo game, mm-hmm. and now it doesn't sound like the Buccaneers defenders all knew what the call was. Does that right. happen? I mean, you were a coach, but what
does,
happens
it
here?
It does happen, and yes. here's the thing. I think RC's exactly right. I think the safety, he ended up jumping the tight end instead of, because clearly Winfield's thinking he has post help.
Yep.
That's why he's playing outside leverage. He doesn't have post help because that guy went, nobody covered the tight end.
Yep. Right.
And so it looked like there was busts all over the place on this call.
Well, I would much rather not cover the tight end than let that happen.
Absolutely.
Again, the one thing you couldn't have happened is what wound up happening. That said, Dan, for anyone who doesn't know, Dan and Matt Stafford are very close. You played with him for all those years in Detroit. You're wearing the jacket in his honor today. The floor is yours.
Everyone needs a wingman. And I've, for many years, been Stafford's wingman. And I've heard people tell me he stinks or he's a stat pad. Or this is why I'm happy for Matthew Stafford. Because when he went to L.A., he did a sit-down interview. And he said, all I want is the chance to play big-time games yep, in January with the ball in my hand.
Yep.
And that's exactly – and I said this 2 months ago.
Yep.
There's not a dude in the NFL, there's not a guy that with the game on the line in the fourth quarter that I want with the football in their hands than Matthew Stafford. And there's been this small group of people that have tried to tell everybody in the NFL world how great Matthew Stafford is. But I had writers in Detroit come up to me. I'd be sitting in my locker, and I'd have them – and they'd come up to me and say, your guy's not good enough. He doesn't win any games. I said, this dude is great. You guys were wrong. I've had fans come up to me and say, Matthew Stafford sucks. You were wrong. I've had people come up on social media and send me memes or stupid pictures and say, well, I wish someone would support me the way you support Matthew Stafford.
That's
because the dude's
that way
really
well.
Good. And you guys were
I feel
all
that way
wrong.
As well.
You were all wrong. And you know what I love the most about him is through all that, for 13 years, this guy just showed up. Every week would show up, and he was a great teammate, and he would always take the blame. And I'd sit there and I'd go, dude, that's not your fault. That's not your fault. And he would always take the blame. And then he would always give the credit to somebody else. And this was a career-defining throw,
oh, yeah.
a legacy-changing throw. And so all the people who want to have all the fun and tell me how much Matthew Stafford sucks, how's your morning? You were wrong.
That's well
I told you so. I told you so.
Nicely done.
RC,
I got 10 seconds. Go.
Nobody thought he sucked, but I can say this. Yeah. This was the way that Matthew Stafford needed this game to play out.
Yeah.
The Bucs needed to come back, and he needed to have an opportunity for this moment, and he had to show up, and he did.
Right.
This is why they got him. He was elite in an elite moment, and that's how you build a legacy.
It's almost better they didn't win 27-6, which they easily could have. Look
yep.
at our last.
Let's go, Steph!
He's fired.
Let's
up.
Go, Steph!
They will be home in front of the other team's fans on Sunday in the NFC Championship game. Coming up, so much more on that game, including Tom Brady's future. He addressed it after the game. You have to hear what he said and why it feels significant. Plus, Rex, get in there. Here's your question.
We're worried about Brady. Let's go, Stafford!
Who was the only quarterback to lose more playoff games at any stadium than Aaron Rodgers has at Lambeau Field? That's the question. Dan is fired up. We are rolling on.
Let's
get
go!
Bobby Stafford!
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back to Get Up. We are presented by T-Mobile, and it is time for your morning wake-up call. This is the local radio calls, Chiefs and Bills last night.
Mahomes looks to throw it. Pump faking, right side he wants, and a cutback cut. It is caught by Kelce. Touchdown, Kansas City.
one of the greatest duos in the history of the National Football League. And the Chiefs have won this incredible divisional playoff game in overtime.
Looks to throw, pumps once, fires towards the end zone, and it is caught. Touchdown, Kansas City. What a game. The Chiefs hurtle out of the field. The Buffalo season is over. Oh, my goodness. Talk about heartbreak.
Heartbreak is right. It's one you never get over. The quarterbacks were brilliant. What can you say? The numbers you're looking at on your screen are just the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter and overtime. For the game, they threw for over 700 yards, 8 touchdowns, no picks. The AFC is going to be loaded for a long time, and those two guys are the reasons why. In the meantime, we're going to get to Aaron Rodgers in a second here, Rex, and that brings us to Sneaky Hembo. Rodgers has lost 4 playoff games at Lambeau Field. Who is the only quarterback ever to lose more playoff games in any stadium than Rodgers has lost at Lambeau?
That's impossible. It's like having a ball with 13 seconds left at your own 25. There's no chance. I mean, no chance.
Thank
like,
you.
I mean, you're going, hey, is it Elway? He lost a bunch. Is it Favre? He lost a bunch. It's you know, Peyton Manning? He lost a bunch. I got no chance, dude. I'm almost thinking about quarterback draw, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady is so close. Turn around, Rex. Turn around.
Ben Roethlisberger? I wasn't even on the list.
Ben Roethlisberger has lost 5, or he's now retiring, lost 5 home playoff games at Heinz Field.
Quarterback draw.
Brady and Aaron Rodgers 4 apiece. Well, it's okay. Mike McCarthy told me you can't win a game in 14 seconds. So
absolutely.
There's no chance whatsoever you had a shot to get that. In the meantime, after clinching, here's what we're talking about. I'm the top spot in the AFC, in the NFC, pardon me. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, as you know, lost Saturday night to the Niners, 13-10. Rodgers failing to throw a touchdown. And then after the game, addressed the elephant of the room, which is his uncertain future.
I don't know. You know, I'm still super competitive. I still know I can play at a high level. So it's going to be a tough decision. A lot of things to weigh in the coming weeks. You know, so many guys' contracts are up or on the brink or salary cap stuff. So a lot of decisions to be made. I don't want to be a part of a rebuild if I'm going to keep playing. So a lot of decisions, you know, in the next couple months.
Well, that's for sure. And so we spent some time on this earlier today, but I wanted to bring Rob Domofsky in here because he covers the Packers for us so well and for so long. And Rob, I just wanted to get your perspective for our audience here. What should we make right this minute of Rodgers' future in Green Bay?
Greeny, the sound that you just heard was from a question that I asked him saying, hey, look, do you even think that you can still win a Super Bowl here given all the changes that likely are going to have to come because of guys who are free agents, Devontae Adams, as you know, among them, their salary cap situation, which I know you've talked about. But the beginning of that, what you didn't hear was when I asked him, do you think you can? He said, I don't know. That's a fair question. That's definitely one that I've thought about. Now, you might say, well, how do you think they don't have enough talent? They won 13 games. They secured the number one seed. But I had a scout tell me yesterday after watching the game, he said, look out there. They had really one key player, an average offensive line, and that quarterback against a 49ers defense that has 6 or 7 studs. The scout also said to me, he goes, look, Dallas should be more upset because they had more talent than Green Bay did this year.
Okay, and all that is reasonable and fair and whatever, but I think the football fan is thinking there are 3 options here. One of them is Rodgers comes back to Green Bay. Another is he continues to play and goes somewhere else. The third is that he decides to hang him up, which he has hinted is not off the table here. What is your sense of a timetable? When will we know which of those 3 he's going to choose?
Greeny, he told us that he would have a decision by free agency. Now, that's just this vague, may seem like this vague time, but free agency starts March 16th. That's the start of the league year, 4 p.m. You know how it works every year, right? That's when, you know, anybody can go anywhere. But they're going to have to, if they're going to trade him, you know, they'll probably have to work out a deal before that, and they'll just announce it that day. If he's going to do a contract extension and come back, they could do that anytime. He did say he's going to meet with the Packers management this week and then take some time to think about it. Now, remember, a month ago he told us, I'm not going to drag it out and leave everybody hanging. So, you know, what your definition of leaving people hanging is, I guess, is up for debate.
Now, look, in his defense, I'm sure this was not something he expected to have to think about this quickly. Right. Rob, thank you, and obviously we're going to keep you busy there. So that's one legendary quarterback whose future is uncertain. Let's talk about another. In an almost historic comeback yesterday, Tom Brady and the Bucs came up just short. We just talked about how the game ended. After the game, the 44-year-old Brady talked about his future. Here's what he said.
I haven't put a lot of thought into it, so you know, we'll just take it day by day and see, kind of see where we're at. Truthfully, guys, I'm thinking about this game and I'm not thinking about anything past 5 minutes from now.
Brady didn't want to talk about it, but I'm sure you saw this yesterday. Shefty on countdown before you guys, before these games started, and he was on Twitter saying Brady remains non-committal to playing beyond this season, and although he could decide to play again, it is currently not given, sources tell Jeff Darlington and he, Shefty. So, let's come out and go into this. If you were watching our show last week, you heard Rob Ninkovich suggesting similar things. The people who know Brady well have sort of been starting to give some signals, which makes one wonder if he is starting to give some signals. How, Dan, did you interpret that?
Well, that's new. That's unlike seasons of the past or off seasons of the past, where the conversation has never been, I may retire. It's always, I want to play till I'm 45. That's what Tom has said. Not only that, but the fact that it became public knowledge, the fact that it got out as a public conversation was the thing that going into the game felt different. Brady is the guy who's probably the greatest ever football-wise when it comes to keeping things off the field, and never allowing them to become part of the conversation, certainly while they're playing. So I was really surprised that it came out. And I think as I sit here today, I wouldn't be surprised if Tom retired. With the way things ended and all that stuff, I just wouldn't be surprised how it ended.
What do you think, RC?
If he retired.
RC.
Yeah, you know what? I truly don't know. And I know you're like me to get on here and make up some stuff. Like, I could tell you what's in Tom Brady's mind, but I just can't. When you look at the way that they lost this season, not having a guy like Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown absolutely flipping his lid and taking off his clothes and leaving, and then fighting your way back into this game and having the defense let you down when you had an opportunity to get in overtime, how does Tom Brady digest that? Does he digest that as, you know what, it aren't good enough. I just am not good enough, or my team isn't good enough and we can take the next steps, or we can't. There's so much that's going to transpire in this offseason. They brought back all 22 starters. That won't happen next year. Tom Brady won't be walking back into a situation where we think that they have the best team in football, but he's also the ultimate competitor, and his competitiveness has shown us that he can overcome the adversities. Is he willing to do that at 45 with his family now getting older, with his wife having stuck by him throughout this process, and looking towards, do I have what it takes to put in the work to win the championship, not just the ability? I think it's going to be a tough decision for Tom Brady, the ultimate competitor.
What do you think, Rex?
Yeah, I agree completely with that. And here's the thing, all right? As a quarterback, this man had one of the best years, I mean, in the league. He led the league in yardage.
Yep.
He led the league in touchdown passes.
He had one of the greatest
and
years.
And by the
history.
Way, this game right here, he was unbelievable in this game. So to me, look, we all want to see our guys, our heroes, go out on top. He's going out on top if he leaves this way, in my opinion. The other thing, he's going out, if he left now, he's leaving with all his faculties. Like, this guy is healthy. And I think that's important. Now, the competitor in him, oh, my gosh. He wants to get back on that field. Tomorrow. Like, literally, he wants to get back on that field. But I think he's going to – I mean, I believe what he says. He's going to take time. He'll evaluate it and do what's best for him and his family. And, you know, we witness this is the GOAT. So, regardless of what his decision is, amazing.
Quick final word.
I think it comes down to, is he happy being in Tampa Bay? Is he happy with everything, both on the field and off the field, with the way they're running the football team? And also, this roster is going to look very different next year than it does right now. And he's got to factor that into his decision.
Good Bruce point. Arians did say after the game that he expects to be back coaching the Buccaneers next year. There's a lot of things that seem up in the air right now. Meanwhile, the Australian Open rolls on down under with quarterfinal coverage on ESPN2 and the app tonight, 7 Eastern. Every point of every match can also be seen live on ESPN+. As we continue back to the wildest 2 minutes in the history of the NFL and the mistakes that cost the Bills their season. It's next. Get up on ESPN.
Pack. passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You are watching Get Up. We are presented by T-Mobile. And off the most superlative weekend ever, let's run through some superlatives. RC, what was the most impressive thing to you this weekend?
To me, it was watching Joe Burrow get his face smashed in for four quarters and still come up to fight, still continue to play, still continue to make plays, never get on his offensive line, never pout on the sideline, not throw tablets, not fuss at referees or officials and say, you know what, I have to come out and continue to play because this is the team that I was picked to lead and I'm going to lead them to the AFC Championship. I thought Joe Burrow was as cool as any quarterback as we've seen all year.
Dan, what was your biggest disappointment this weekend?
This has to be the one seed Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. This was a team that went to the NFC Championship last year, had all the offseason drama, came out and had a fantastic season this year, 13 wins. And we felt like this was the team at home with home field advantage that was finally going to go and get Aaron Rodgers back to the Super Bowl. I don't think they played well offensively. I don't think Aaron Rodgers played well. They're a massive disappointment coming out of the divisional round.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. Rex, what was the biggest surprise to you?
Biggest surprise to me, Greeny, was that we were looking forward to all these games. We thought they were going to be super competitive. Very rarely do we get games that live up to expectations. Not only did these games live up to expectations, they exceeded all of our expectations. Wild finishes, everything. And the NFL, yes, you are king.
No question. Listen, the four games were decided by a combined total of 15 points. That is the tightest margin in this weekend in NFL history. And all four of them, regulation ended with a kick that went through the uprights that either won a game or in one case tied a game. So let's talk about that crazy finish in Kansas City yesterday. You've got tape. What should we see?
One of my favorite sayings is you don't rise to your level of expectation. You fall to the level of your training. The Kansas City Chiefs were trained perfectly for this moment. 13 seconds on the clock to start this drive. Two things I got to point out right here. First of all, what you're going to get is this kind of play concept. You are going to take this guy, he's got a block. Take this guy, he's got a block, and you're just trying to get a ball to Tyreek Hill. Perfect. Two things that matter. Tyreek, when you catch the football, the most important thing is for you to go vertically in a straight line right now. We are not dancing side to side. We're not trying to go get extra yards. Time is of the essence. Watch the straight line that Tyreek Hill gives this. This is fantastic. Now, the second thing is this. Look at Andy Reid. Right when he is on the ground, Tyreek Hill just gets tackled. Andy Reid, there's an official right here off the screen. Andy Reid is ready for the moment. Tyreek Hill, don't waste time. Get vertical. Second of all, Andy Reid is popping that timeout. That play starts at 13. It's now down to 8. Beautiful job by the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, the second thing is this. Travis Kelce started on this outside split that Ryan Clark talked about, and he moved himself down inside 1 yard. When Patrick Mahomes catches this snap, I'm trying to take advantage of this space right now. I have to get a ball down the field, but I got to take advantage of that space. Patrick's going to catch this snap and do one thing. He himself is going to stare to the right. I'm just trying to hold Milano. I'm trying to create a little bit more space. Second thing is this. Watch Travis Kelce. He's going to push up on his route and nod or lean and then cross face. Again, I am trying to create just a little bit more space for my offense, right? I've now created a bigger window for me to take advantage of. Ball comes out. Now, something kind of struck me when I watched this. I don't think this was the designed play or route for Travis Kelce. I think it's a complete freestyle. My reasoning is this. Watch Patrick Mahomes. If this is a play that you practiced 10, 15, 20 times, why, Patrick Mahomes, are you pump faking? Why? The ball would come out on time. You would be seeing it the same way. I think they said, we had all this area. I'm going to go cut my split.
and you gotta trust me that I'm gonna go attack that space. Patrick kind of sees it late, and the last thing is this, Greeny. Dude, you have to throw this ball downfield. If you hold him up, that's a catch, tackle, game over. This ball has to be thrown to lead him downfield. Now, in this moment, I want everyone to pay attention to two guys. This tackle and this center. You don't think these guys are ready for the moment? Watch what happens. Watch them. Watch them. Both are going, timeout, timeout. Yeah. Both of these guys are ready for the moment because they were trained for it. The timeouts get popped. Beautiful job. Now let's go to the game winner. You're going to take Travis Kelce. You're going to put him up top. Now right now, he's going to get matched by a corner. Okay? This is Tyreek Hill inside. That's not the matchup I want. I want my guy on a linebacker. You're going to get this short motion by Travis Kelce. Now what happens on this short motion by Travis Kelce is responsibilities change. I now have done this. I've taken this linebacker, and he's now got Travis Kelce in man-to-man. I win. Game over. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take Tyreek Hill, and I'm going to push him vertically, right? I want Tyreek Hill, when he pushes vertical, this safety in this corner have to respect that that guy has a chance to go get the ball. Now I've created this matchup that is going to be perfect for me. Now Kelce's going to do something beautiful right here. When he pushes up on this out route, that moment right there, he is going to push up and go the out route. He is starting to turn his head, right? You come up, start to turn your head back to the quarterback. What that tells that trailing defender is there's here comes this out route. And Milano just starts to make a little bit of a break there. Kelce goes on the out and up. And then this ball placement is absolutely perfect by Patrick Mahomes. That's how the Chiefs are going to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Yeah. They're ready for the moment. Everybody on the football team, and they executed it perfectly.
That's so well done. I have so many questions about what the Bills were doing defensively on that sequence, why certain people are even on the field when it's happening.
Sure.
But we've talked about that all day long. There is one question that immediately comes up, particularly on Twitter in the world in which we live, when that game ends, and it is, how does Josh Allen not get one more chance to win the game, the overtime rules? We can see what our friend Lewis Riddick thinks. He weighed in, play better defense, don't cry about the rules. That's fair. But, Rex, let me start with you. As one, you coached the game for an awful long time. You've seen the rules change and evolve over the course of time. Didn't used to be what it is now. Do you believe they need to make a change so that a guy like Josh Allen could play one of the greatest games we've ever seen and wind up having being guaranteed at least a shot in overtime?
No, absolutely not. I don't want the rule to change. I double down on what Lewis Riddick said. And look, just stop somebody. All right, stop somebody. Handle it in your 13 seconds.
Yeah.
You're going to win the game. Then you get overtime. They don't have to score. They drove 75 yards to score a touchdown. So, to me, don't change the rule.
Ryan
Just
Clark,
stop somebody.
The rule, RC, your thoughts.
You know, it's one of those things where it's always been the rule. And so every time we get into these moments and one team doesn't stop the other when they lose the coin toss, we have this discussion. This is what it is, guys. It's sudden death. They don't want to have these guys playing 15 more minutes, 30 more minutes. You know what it is. And if you're the number one defense in the NFL, you got to get a stop. You ain't got one the whole fourth quarter. Now you get into overtime, it's time to stand up. It's time to make a stop. And if you hold them to a field goal, you actually get a chance. You could do none of those things, so you do not deserve to win. If you give up a field goal with 13 seconds, you don't deserve to win.
Yeah.
If you lose the coin toss and give up a touchdown on the first drive of overtime, you don't deserve the win. It ain't the rules, it's you. And sometimes you got to accept that.
It is worth reminding or maybe pointing out to younger viewers that this hasn't always been the rule. It used to be that even a field goal would end a game in overtime. And then once upon a time, Peyton Manning didn't get on the field in overtime, and they adjusted it at least a little. So it is not unprecedented that they could adjust a rule. What do you think of it, Dan?
So coming into this segment, my thought was I want overtime rules to be changed, mainly because we talk about on television all the time that these quarterbacks are indefensible. Like, it's almost incredible or impossible to stop them. We were just talking about it, Rex. But then when I hear Rex and RC make their points and when they say, find a way to get a stop, you know, you're the number one defense in the NFL. You've got to go earn that stop, so to speak. I think they swing me towards thinking,
keep it the same way. As much as I was sitting there going, God, please give me Josh Allen the chance with the football, I think their points are valid that this is a three-phase game, offense, defense, special teams, and it can't just be, well, the quarterback has to get the opportunity. And I think their points of, if you want to win the football game, your team needs to play well, not just the quarterback. I think they swing my kind of viewpoint on it.
This happened 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes was the one who didn't get on the field in the AFC Championship game against New England. The Chiefs proposed at that time changing the overtime rule. They didn't change it. So these things tend to come down to which side of it your team winds up on. Meanwhile, our ACC Big 12 Big Monday doubleheader is coming your way. Louisville, Virginia, 7 Eastern. Then the top teams in the conference square off, Kansas and Texas Tech. Both games right here on ESPN and the ESPN app. First Take comes. Top of the hour. They have so much more on the wild finish, Buffalo and Kansas City. Plus, did Matthew Stafford finally silence his critics? Dan's looking forward to that conversation. Molly, Stephen A., Michael Irvin. Don't miss it.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is presented by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network. Quickly, our featured NHL games tomorrow night, ESPN Plus, Stars and Devils, 7 Eastern, then the Kraken and the Predators for the top spot in the West. To get ESPN Plus, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. Okay.
Go for Fred, by the way.
Before we go to the Nashville guy, before we get to the dad jokes, very quickly, Hembo can put the games on the screen. We got two games coming up. We got Kansas City and Los Angeles are your favorites. Rams, Niners. Dan, who's going to win?
Come on,
okay,
Greeny.
Fair enough. He's got the Rams.
I'm wearing this freaking jacket.
I'm going to take the Rams.
RC, Rams, Niners.
I'm going to go Rams again just like I did yesterday.
Let's go, RC!
Sweet. Chiefs, Bengals. Danny, who you got?
Ooh, I'll say Kansas City.
Kansas City.
Yeah, I think so.
RC?
Same way.
Okay, we all like the Chiefs and the Rams, and there's only one way to end any Monday here. Dan, the floor is yours.
I don't really need to say anything. Stafford shut every one of you up. That's all. He shut all of you up. He
Where's
shut
the joke,
every one
bro?
Of you doubters up.
Where's the joke?
All right, here's the dad joke. I've taken a couple shots at the Lions today, man. So I'm going to get him in the joke. What did Spartacus say when the lion ate his wife?
What did Spartacus say when the lion ate his wife?
Nothing. He was glad he ate her.
I actually kind of like it. All right, First Take next.